Welcome to Watching Bloomington, brought to you by Buccetto's Pizza Pasta, with your host, Barry Lusso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington, where each week we have a chance to talk with a community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And we're pleased to have with us this morning our friend Nathan with Habitat for Humanity here in Monroe County. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, great. So why don't you start off, tell our listeners a little bit about your organization and what it does?
Sure. Yeah. My name is Nathan Ferrer. I'm the Director of Land Development and Production for Habitat for Humanity of Monroe County. And so like many Habitat affiliates across the country, our goal is to create a world where everyone has a decent place to live. Our mission is to eliminate poverty housing by building decent, safe, affordable homes in partnership with qualifying families. And what that means is low-income families that have a need for housing and an ability to pay an affordable mortgage and a willingness to partner. So there's a misnomer out there that Habitat gives away houses. We don't actually give away houses. In fact, the families that buy houses from Habitat put in something called sweat equity. So every adult in the home has to put in 250 hours of work on their houses and other participant houses before they can move into their home. And then at that point, we also do affordable financing. So these are families that typically would not be able to get a home mortgage traditionally through a bank. And we do an affordable mortgage that they pay back over the course of the life of the loan. Their payments never go above 30% of their income. So it stays affordable for the life of that mortgage. And then once they own it, they're free and clear and they've built equity in that home. And the way we like to think about the Habitat model is that it's a permanent path out of poverty. And the evidence is that that is true. It's why Habitat is successful across the country and even around the world.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting you mentioned that 30% figure, because that's an industry standard then for being at an affordable rate.
Yeah. When people do budgets on their home income, anything above 30% is considered being encumbered in terms of paying for your housing. And Bloomington, unfortunately, is consistently one of the least affordable places to live in the state. Our poverty rate is actually one of the highest at 22% in the state. And so having our kind of housing is really critical to addressing that for working families. So
Do families get involved in the process? So if they're interested in participating and being considered to be a homeowner and participate and put in that equity, how do they do that? Is there an application process or how does that part work?
Yeah. So building houses is not a quick process generally. We only let so many families, we only accept so many families into the program as we have space where we know we'll be able to build their house within a year and a half to 2 years. So generally we have about 20 families in our program at any given time. I think we have 17 or 18 right now. And we have a lot of construction happening right now. So we're going to be finishing up houses through this summer. And because of that, we will likely be opening up a period for accepting applications, possibly in June. And what we do is we broadcast that throughout the community. We get inquiries constantly. We get about 5 inquiries a week. And so there's a really strong need. And if people contact our office at 812-331-4069, we will put them on that list so that we can notify them when we are accepting applications. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's for low-income families. So the family's income would need to be 80% or less of the area median income. they would need to have the ability to pay back an affordable mortgage. And that amount gets determined based on their income later at a later point. And then they have to have a need for housing, which typically means it could be too many people in one home. It could be a bad situation where a place is not safe to live, where a landlord might not be fixing something. We've seen all kinds of scenarios. We've also worked with families that are near being homeless. There is certainly opportunity to get in our program. It's not a quick, not a quick fix, because we build houses. It takes time. But once you're in, it really is a path to a more stable life.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like too, so you provide education and assistance with budgeting and make sure it sounds like that people have the tools then to be successful homeowners.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. Part of the sweat equity that's required is they have to attend homeownership classes. And that includes budgeting, that includes how to take care of your home. There's a lot that gets covered in that, that prepares the families for home ownership and makes them successful. Our foreclosure rate is like 0.5%. So it's very small. It's much less than kind of the national average for foreclosures.
Oh yeah. It's amazing.
We credit those classes for that. Mm-hmm.
An amazing rate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. The program's incredible. And so to build all these houses, then who helps you do this? I know it's not you with a hammer.
Well, so here's the key.
Alone.
Yeah. There's lots of help we get. We get sponsorships. And so financial sponsorships actually help support buying of materials and hiring of certain subcontractors. But I would say the biggest key to what we do and what makes it successful is we use volunteers. And so volunteers come out consistently week to week. We have our crew leaders, which are our skilled volunteers, and they are really the core crew of everything we do. And then we have groups of volunteers that come out too that may not have construction skills, but want to learn about what it is to build a house or how to put up a piece of, you know, drywall or something. And they are what keep our construction affordable. So really the only reason we can do this is because we save so much on labor costs through using volunteers. And then there's many other events we have throughout the year. We have something called the Women Build, where it's volunteers, women from the community that also do the fundraising for the event. And we have, I would say, the most successful Women Build in the country. A lot of other affiliates actually come to us to study how we do it, because we've been so successful. And right now, actually, we're just kicking off what we call our Builder Splits. And this is something we do every other year, where local builders actually come together and they use their resources. So they recruit subcontractors who might donate their time or discount their costs. And then we all try to work together to secure material donations. And what this does is basically we will get three houses during the time and how much it costs us typically to do one house.
Wow.
So we are using their resources and kind of the whole community is coming together, the whole construction community. And I just want to mention this year, our signature builders this year are Lauren Wood Builders, Bailey and Weiler Design, Craft Construction, Keystone Construction, John Ingram Builders, and Rubicon Construction. And these guys have been with us for several years. And there's a much longer list of subcontractors and suppliers that help out, which will give them plenty of press later on. But we're thrilled to be starting this next week. So by June, we'll have three houses in a fraction of the amount of time and cost that it typically takes us to build a house. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
And sounds like then they're providing a lot of expertise and time as well as materials and access to other folks in the industry.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's amazing. How have you been impacted by rising costs? I mean, that's all you hear about is, you know, along with milk and bread and gas being more expensive. I went to the store to get a molding the other day and I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. It has been volatile, especially lumber prices. We have had to kind of work through it. Our fundraising department has had to work harder to get enough money to cover costs. And the material costs, it's not just that the price is going up, but there's also scarcity. So we've had some pretty major delays because we couldn't get a certain type of product. So it's absolutely impacting us, but we are making it work. We're actually ramping up to do more builds than we've done since pre-COVID this year. So we are pushing through and hopeful that costs will get more reasonable again, but also preparing to basically do more fundraising is how we offset that cost. So
we work hard. How do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I would believe it. And then I would think too, like when you estimate for a build, do you have a set amount then that you target for a house that you try to raise? You mentioned like Women's Build does their own fundraising or fundraising for these projects. Is there like a target number you shoot for?
Yeah, absolutely. So material wise, we pretty much have to buy everything. We do get some materials donated. Labor, we do as much as we can, but there's certain labor that we have to hire professionals. So the plumbers, electricians, the HVAC, and we have to hire those. So our current construction costs, which are still potentially a half of what a regular builder might spend, is about $100,000 to build a home.
Wow.
So that's about where we find ourselves now. And that means we're raising that much for every house. So, so if we're doing 10 houses this coming year, which we hope to do, then we're looking at it raising $1 million per year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would imagine too, like many nonprofit organizations, the last few years have been rough. And so if people are interested in making a financial contribution, do they just reach out, website, call? What's the best way for folks to get involved with that?
Yes, all the above. Our website, MonroeCountyHabitat.org, is a great place, or calling our office at 812-331-4069. There's a lot of ways to be involved, actually. So I've mentioned volunteering, of course, donating. And then, of course, we have our ReStore, which is kind of a standalone business, but their profits go back to supporting the work that we do. So they're actually helping with Builders Blitz this year. They're pretty much sponsoring a full half of one of those three houses for Builders
Blitz. Wow.
And so ReStore takes home good donations, and those get resold in the ReStore, and all that money comes back to supporting the ReStore and building of affordable housing. So it's kind of a perfect model for that. We have some income generating within our organization through the ReStore. So if you have, a gallon of paint you didn't use, or a couch, or whatever it is, if it's in decent shape and you think that somebody would still want it, then we would love that donation. And of course, we can write everybody a receipt for any kind of tax deduction that they might want to use that for. So.
And I'm glad you mentioned furniture too, because I think a lot of people, are aware of the fact that you take paint or sinks or kitchen cabinets if you're remodeling, but you take appliances and furniture and a lot of different things too, don't you?
We absolutely do. There's a couple pieces of furniture we don't take, like mattresses, that kind of thing. And things have to be in reasonably good shape. Otherwise, we end up just paying to have it put in a dumpster if it's in bad shape. But yeah, appliances, furniture, household goods, we've got dishes, we've got kitchen goods as well. And if you've not been to the ReStore, I would recommend stopping by there. It's a very interesting place just to wander around, even if you're not looking for anything. We get some antiques in there too, so people sometimes come through looking for that kind of thing. So
Yeah, there's quite a variety in there. And that's real easy to donate too. I know we've brought stuff there before. You've got that nice drive-through lane. You just pull right up and they're nice people who help you unload.
Yeah, absolutely. It's over there on Auto Mall Road, just south of the mall, north of Kroger. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned folks having volunteer opportunities. So what types of things could they do if they're interested in volunteering?
Well, we take volunteers at the ReStore. So helping with processing donations is a big piece there. But primarily our volunteers will help out on site. We have volunteer groups, often through a church or a community group, that's helping to raise funds. And then they come out and they might help build a wall. They might help put up trusses or paint, or it's kind of, we put them where their skill level is when we can. So there's some thinking behind that. And then we have volunteers on the build site as well who maybe want to learn a bit more and get more involved in the construction side of things. And that's what we call our crew leaders. So we have crew leaders that we train over time that will actually lead other volunteers when they get to that point. So we love to have them. We have regular trainings for those crew leaders. I'd say the majority are retirees, a lot of those folks are, you know, looking for something good to do and looking for camaraderie and hanging out with other people in the community. And they have a good time. They work hard and they have a good time.
Have some of your crew leaders been with you for a while then, as well as volunteers?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Since I'd say we might have a couple since our affiliate was founded in 1988. But for the most part, yeah, our core group of crew leaders have been with us for many years. And they're great to work with. They love training other people for the most part. And it's a great team to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. How do you find then too that, you know, homeowners, obviously from what you've described, have that chance to put sweat equity into their home, but they're helping other people with their homes too. And so what kind of feeling does that develop? I can imagine that's probably pretty powerful.
Yeah. We've sometimes called it the HABA family, or it definitely creates a community feel. Especially when we're building in one of our neighborhoods, like the Trailview neighborhood or our new neighborhood by RCA Park called Osage Place, because then these people are actually building the houses of their future neighbors. The homeowners are not just helping get their sweat equity, but they have sweat invested in their home and their neighbors' homes. And it really does develop the community that they're going to be living in the next decades. So it is a special thing.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine too, and I know this is your bailiwick, you kind of try to group property together when you're developing so you can create these neighborhoods, or do you have developments in different locations? How does that part work?
Well, so land is getting scarcer and scarcer for single family residential homes. And we have been lucky enough and just worked hard to try to get some land in one location. Mm-hmm. So the Trailview neighborhood is wrapping up this fall, actually. That's on the north part of the B-line. And then we were able to get together 12 and a half acres, partly through purchases and partly through a donation from the Monroe County commissioners. Mm-hmm. So that 12 and a half acres is making up our new neighborhood, Osage Place. Where we used to build a lot more houses throughout the community in infill lots, which would just be a single empty lot. There's just not very many of those anymore. There's fewer and fewer, and they're more and more expensive. And so financially, the way to go for us is we've got to build subdivisions. But we're looking at other models too. We've built a shipping container home, which is kind of a tiny home, which would mean less land. We are looking at some not multifamily, but more kind of plex models in the future, potentially. And that's just to take advantage of trying to get our program to more people when there is a scarcity of land to build on.
Yeah, alternate building materials. It's interesting trying the container homes and things like that. So you start seeing more and more of those types of things being highlighted in different communities.
Yeah. We're actually, we're finishing one up in May that came to us through a partnership with the Community Foundation. And so we should have that wrapped up soon.
Nice. Yeah. So, and if people are interested, I mean, I know this is probably a stretch in a lot of cases, but who knows? So if somebody has a lot though, or a piece of land that they're interested in donating, they should reach out and contact you, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Yeah. Donations would be very welcome, of course. But we do sometimes purchase land as well. It just depends on the cost, of course. But yes, we will make good use of land. We're really meeting that need. I mean, I think we're meeting several needs, but people talk about the missing middle in housing, and those are the kind of houses we build, are houses that are intended to be affordable and remain affordable over the long term. Yeah, donated lots would be amazing.
Well, Nathan, thank you so much for being with us this morning and all that wonderful work you're doing, and Hope Builders Blitz goes phenomenally.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. This has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Buccetto's Pizza Pasta. For pizzas, calzones, Italian chicken dinners, and more than 50 gluten-free dishes, as well as vegan options. Visit them for dine-in or carry-out at East 3rd Street or next to Starbucks on West 3rd Street in front of Kroger. Order online at Buccetto's.com.